All right, let's go to another statement. Number three, new media create hypes in politics, cause short-term thinking, and have negative influence. Who wants to say something about that? Okay.
You were all right. I just have a very short opinion about that. I think I'm not quite sure about the answer, but for all of this phenomenon of this new media, sounds to me it's like populism or activism. Well, what exactly is that? Like everybody just go frantic on the street and then they force the politicians to listen to them. It's a sort of democracy we're talking about here. Should we just listen to like a bunch of, if you want to call it mob or the opinion on the street, and it forms something that we think, okay, that's valuable. What is the distinguishment between the two then? The real democratic procedure or those people who shout or who occupy the space? I'm not saying that that's not wrong or bad or good or what, but everyone has their rights to present their opinions, and then that's democratic. But the thing is, if we just listen to those people who occupy the street, who shout loudly, and then what's the true debate? Can people still calm down and think about, okay, what is real truth there we are pursuing? And that's actually my question.
Yeah, well, the point of, I think, the point that I try to make here is, when, at least that's my opinion and my impression, if you watch Dutch TV, the news bulletins, and all those other programs, especially late at night, those presenters always bring up, this has been on the internet, that has been on Twitter, and what's your opinion about that? And all of a sudden, politicians are forced to use or to comment on that and make promises. And the question is then, the promises they make, are they for long-term policies? Because that's what they were really voted for when they were voted in office. They have to govern the country, and they have to balance everything. And if they are forced by new media and by journalists who use them, they have to give answers to short-term things that happen and that may, after all, in the end, after some time, not be that bad as they are presented in, for instance, the new media. So the problem I think there is that we have to be very careful in our reactions to new media, to hypes, etc., etc.
The funny thing is that this is now, for example, exactly kind of within this skepticism, not pessimist, but skepticism paradigm, where people say, you know, we had the exact same discussion that politicians, you know, are pushed by newspaper coverage or television coverage, simply by, you know, public opinion as it is presented or established, you know, through the media. Politicians have been criticized for, you know, just kind of, you know, adjusting their policies or their statements to a media pressure, but already before the new media hype or however you want to call it. So while I might, you know, agree with you that, you know, I'm not sure about the scope of the problem, but it's not a new problem. I mean, this is the same debate we had, you know, also with regard to more traditional media. So it's not inherent to new media. You know, of course, now that's the battleground on this issue, but it's not new. But what would you say, for example, about Tony Blair going on war in Iraq against basically the vast majority of his country? And he exactly took your position. He said, hey, I was elected. I have a vision. I say this is the right thing. All the mainstream media were writing against going on war. All the public opinion was against going on war in the UK. But Tony Blair said exactly that. For some reason, I have the feeling you don't want to identify with that position. Then it was so, but no, but it's an interesting discussion, I think, you know.
Well, that's what he said, eh? And I think that's what he also said in his presentation, that the problems we see now with social media are just more of the problems we also saw with the so-called old media. So what's new about the social media or the new media? But there's There's one other guy, he wants to ask a question.
Yeah, I want to support you in saying that the old media is definitely also creating hypes. If we're looking at your question or your statement, then it's threefold. First, new media is supposed to create hypes in politics. Second, it creates short-term thinking. And third, it has a negative influence. Third one is a very broad one. I will not go into that. The first one, it creates hypes in politics, I think. If we look at the 24-hour news cycle, which was around before news media, CNN, Fox News a bit later, they have to have something to argue about. So this is making hypes necessarily, and it has nothing to do with new media. Actually, new media creates the opportunity to delve deeper into a subject rather than on the surface creating conflict where there might not be any. Okay, on the short-term thinking, it will facilitate short-term thinking, perhaps, but it also has the ability to create a long-term conversation on ideas, which is, I think, very interesting on looking at your investigation, because you're looking at political participation in social media, Facebook, Twitter, and I assume you're looking for political parties, support for political parties or candidates. And I think what is happening a lot around the internet is that ideas travel rather than support for a certain political party or a certain candidate. So what your research looks at is a very limited offer of political ideas. And the internet facilitates ideas across the board and a conversation about these. So if, for instance, someone publishes a Facebook message of a Christian preacher having a great idea and epiphany and talking about it through Facebook in certain networks, it will go around. In other communities, it will have a, for instance, you have the examples of atheist videos that go around Facebook and are replicated more and more. So that is not necessarily inherently a political subject, but it is an idea that has a lot of influence on politics, I would say. Negative influence, I'll leave that.
That's all right. He can ask one more question, but that's the final one you can ask.
Well, I think it's about, like, can you, Mr. Andrea Schucht, like, if you can just distinguish between the old media and the new media. You say that this debate is nothing new in the old media, or you have the same thing. Maybe they create hypes, and they also force the politicians to have the short-sighted opinions because they have to respond to them. But let's put it this way. For the short term, like this short-term thinking, is that not necessary? I mean, to respond to those really urgent cases, it's not necessary then.
What do you mean it's not
necessary? It should be necessary, right? Because it's short-term. For the urgent case, and you need a short-term answer to that to quen them down.
Well, my reaction would be that, as these two here said, these two gentlemen, a politician should have a clear view of what he wants to achieve. So he has to go through long-term thinking. And my fear is that if you say that there is a short-term problem that comes up through either the old or the new media, then larger problems are divided into smaller things. And that has the risk that you lose the overall picture. And then you only try to find a solution for the small little bit that may not be that important on the long run. And when politicians react to that, they tend to spend a lot of their time dealing with those short-term small problems, while they should spend more time with the long-term problems. I know, because those people sit on those blue chairs in the second chamber and they want to stay there. And the more exposure on the media, whether they're old or new, they get, the better it is. Of course, all media have any kind of effect, whether good or bad. But you see that a lot of politicians like to have exposure. So on the other hand, that's my opinion, that new media offer them an opportunity to get on the TV and in an interview and give their opinion, and they can say, oh, I've been on the TV again. So it has another meaning for them as well, not just you have a long-term vision on what you want to achieve, but also I have to be visible to my electorate because I want to be re-elected after 4 years or 2 years or whenever the elections are. And that's inherent in the political process. But at the same time, they have to look at the long-term problems and the long-term solutions.
Everybody, the behavior has changed. If you look in the old media, at the newspapers, I mean paper, look at what happened to NSC Handelsblad. It's full of photos and short articles. 10 years ago, you had huge articles, deep analysis, and they are all gone. So this is the impact between a new media and old media. And old media have their own hypes and they are still have hypes. Each age has its own hypes. But new media is the new engine. But on the other side, also incubator of new ideas. So it's on the positive side. But the question would be about short-termism. How do we see to that not only politicians, but all of us keep thinking about long-term issues?
What's your opinion about that?
Well, I think what you're referring to is that, I mean, simply the turnaround has gotten much, much faster. I mean, I remember in the 80s when I was a child, at 8:15 in Germany, it was the Tagesschau, and that was the one event on the day where you got your news. And of course now, and I think that is like what, you know, some of you are referring to now, is that the speed has just gotten much faster. But, I mean, that's unstoppable. I mean, kind of picking up one thing that I'm not sure you meant, but I think you meant, is that we, of course, like this division between old and new media will not make so much sense anymore pretty soon because, you know, we have this big media integration development that, you know, people watch their evening news, you know, recorded with their mobile device on the train and so on. So what is then old? What is new? I mean, is television then still old in a traditional sense or is it actually becoming a, you know, doesn't it have the same utility function that, you know, now so-called new media have? And what is it then? Is it a new old medium? Or yeah. So I mean, this distinction doesn't make much sense anymore. But it's a process that that won't stop. So I mean, we can all think about, you know, how to deal with this and what politicians should do. But it's irreversible. But the problem is, if there's news popping out basically every second through these new channels. Kind of as you say, there is a need to respond and there's a possibility to respond because politicians use the same channels. So it's, of course, there's a very, like a much quicker interaction. It's not that, you know, there's like something happening on Tuesday and then a response on Thursday, but you can respond publicly within minutes or seconds. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If I could,
you have the floor.
Yeah, if I could respond, like with short term, they mean issues like in the Netherlands, in the parliament, right now they're discussing the case of one immigrant and they're discussing whether one case is correctly brought before the judge. And that is not the things they should be discussing. They should be discussing broad outlines. And that is the problem that we look at here. So that is what we mean with short-term thinking, which we should prevent. But in a way, social media actually also provides us with a way to circumvent this, because we don't no longer have this constant stream, which we don't really control, of media. But now we can be much more selective and then click on the next one and dig into it deeper. That's what you said already. And get into archives. And So information becomes much more flexible, and therefore it doesn't have to be this superficial stream, like we said before.
All right, well, we're almost done now, and I would like to raise one final thing that probably underlays the relation between the media and the politicians. I've once heard somebody describe the relation between politics and media as a marriage, mutual dependent. Is that true?
Which statement are you referring to with that?
No. It's a bigger one, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about democracy and politicians and the media. We're talking about new media, but also about old media. And if you study media and politics, at least when I was studying political science, there was this idea that politicians are depending on the media, but the media are depending on the politicians as well, and they're mutually dependent. So they need each other. And is that really true? What is your opinion about that? And how independent are the politicians, and how independent are the media?
Well, I mean, I mentioned this mediatization term before. I mean, what we have seen is that every time there is kind of a technological advancement, politicians respond to that. For example, think of sound bites. Like a couple of years ago, we know that the average length of a quote on television was much longer than it is now. So politicians know that journalists want short sound bites, so they have adjusted their language. There are studies that show how politicians have adjusted their language so that it's more likely that their quotes are picked up, so they are short and more to the point. And so now you can say, well, is that good or bad? So politics obviously depends on the journalists in that respect, and they kind of respond to media logic. Guido Westerwelle, who was here apparently, he was famous in Germany because he printed the goal of his party on his shoes and went to a talk show where he had studied the camera angle, and he knew that the shoe would be in the camera. So it said, like, I think the party logo or 18% or what he wanted to achieve. So yes, politicians respond. Ideally, we have this idea, we want politicians with vision, as we said. But I mean, I think we also don't want politicians who are completely independent of what's going on. So in a way, I think, yes, it's a marriage. Yes, I think we want politicians to be sensitive to also what's going on in the media. But of course, there are lines, and where it gets problematic when, you know, journalists and politicians befriend each other on Facebook and are pretty far away from the old ideal. And I mean, what we witness in journalism right now, which is of course interesting, is that, for example, these old norms of like fact checking, you have to first have like two or three independent sources before you publish something. This is of course all kind of now with new media kind of eroding. Because how often do you now see like little fragments where it says a source unknown, but we think this is in Syria. See how this guy is slaughtered. We think we got this on the internet. So, I mean, the whole relationship, of course, has changed. Journalism has changed. Politics is trying to respond. And it's a complicated marriage, and one that's dynamically changing. So I wouldn't be able to predict how it looks in 5 years.
Maybe just like any other marriage we know.
Yeah.
All right.
No divorce possible.
No. Okay, you're the very last one.
Thank you. My name is Steven Kruiswijk. I'm a philosopher from The Hague. I just was looking on the Wikipedia page for Montesquieu. I don't know his work personally, but I read here that he understood or thought that each historical event was driven by a principal movement. So for instance, if Caesar and Pompey had not worked to usurp the government of the Republic, some other men would have risen in their place. And that these kinds of historical things, we are talking now in terms of, can we pin down something on social media? Is that something that's important or not? But wouldn't you agree with me also that there's some kind of bigger principal movement going on here, and could you give us your thoughts on what that might be, this bigger principle movement?
But do you mean a bigger principle movement in terms of that things change different than they were usually changing? Or?
Well, yeah, my own feeling is that we are approaching some kind of point, that there's this very explicit breakdown of normal society, that the political processes in the Netherlands on their own have become very, very problematic, and, you know, there's all these difficulties in even, you know, putting together a government. And then you have all the economic troubles that are not going away. You know, there's we are approaching some kind of a point of no return, it seems. So do you agree, and do you... I like this Montesquieu idea that there's this bigger principle movement that's not really pinnable to one or thing or the other, but it's, we're in this together, and we're approaching like this milestone.
Well, that's, I mean, it is of course now a very grand question, maybe, you know, beyond the scope of this discussion. But I would say, you know, if I try to bring in the, you know, what the topic is of today, namely new media, then I would say if something like that would be there. And I think the contribution of new media would again be that the speed is kind of, you know, facilitated through that. So, I mean, I think that would be the role that new media kind of would play in that. Because, you know, think of, you mentioned the economic crisis. You know, the cycles, you know, to come to political decisions was much longer than it has been now. I sometimes go to bed and I wake up and the government has met so I think, you know, the contribution of new media in what you describe, if it's there or not, would be the speed, and in that sense it would be.
All right.